This morning I was reading from the book of Philippians, and if you bear with me, I'd like to come back to the couple of verses, Philippians chapter 4, for tonight, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. I'd like to come back tonight to these verses, first of all, because it is a message for me. And I'm sure that God will speak to our needs and to our hearts. When we think of having fears, and in so many ways, it depends. Sometimes we are worriers. We worry about many things around which are taking place. I recall when I was a child, and the pastors we had in Romania in those days, they had to go to America because of the difficulties, used to say that sometimes we worry of things which will never happen. And just in the way we look at things, and sometimes we think of them, we let them develop and grow big and expound in our mind, and then realize that in the first place you shouldn't even think about them. Sometimes we have in our nature that, and perhaps in our temperament, we have that type of approach. Sometimes perhaps certain things will develop in our lives and lead us to that aspect of attitude. Yet one thing we learn clear from Scripture, and what a blessing that is, that God is inspiring us, first of all, to realize who we are in Christ and what he has done for us. And I'd like to reflect on those verses, a different approach tonight, looking at the Scripture, this verse. What is the ultimate act which takes place in us? And many times when we worry, it is a temptation to do that. We, in fact, break what the Lord has promised us, his promises. I will be with you. We ought to trust God, that God will take us to. And as we were mentioning this morning in Romans chapter 8, everything works according to his plan. And it's for our benefit to trust him, to rely on him, and he will take us farther. Even though we may know these things, it doesn't change the fact that people worry. And things of life can lead us to that. The matter of fact, worry could be called the most popular pastime of the human race. One elderly lady said, "I always feel bad when I feel good, for I know that I'll feel bad after a while." Looking positively to the things ahead is a blessing from God. And sometimes we are prone. Sometimes by nature we are pessimists. And when things like that will happen, we always seem to put the worst thing scenario as taking place. How can we make sure that we are right? You haven't seen me before, but a couple of months ago, I was 2 stone heavier. And my GP said to me, "Listen, because of stress, I'd like to put you..." There are several things taking place. And said, "I'd like to put you in a gym training." And I took the challenge, said, "Would you agree?" And I had to sign, "Yes, you'll be committed to that." And I say, "Yes, I will go and do that training and try to get myself fit and improve my cholesterol and improve everything else taking place." The first 6 weeks, it was up before Christmas. My trainer put me there in 6 weeks there and put me through all these things. And I was working hard, sweating a lot, doing all that program. Now, the only thing is, a week before Christmas, as you know, things will build up in relation to food and everything else. And it happened that my review was just a couple of days after Christmas. I went there and the guy looked at me and said, "You haven't lost any weight." I was embarrassed and I said, "Okay." And when he put the next plan in, and I asked him, "Do you want to kill me?" And I went back and then the effects start taking place. It was that, and in the last 3 or 4 weeks, went even further. I said to my sons, "You haven't seen me like this before you were born." There is an action is to take place. And when we are determined in our actions to apply, to do these things, we'll receive that motivation to do things, and God will help us in that. So it is in spiritual terms. We need to determine ourselves, to be reminded ourselves that we are children of God, that we belong to God, and He has promised always to be with us. Building up worries around us will not take us anywhere. In fact, will paralyze us. A pessimistic view of things. I'm not talking about the worldly style of pessimistic and optimistic. I'm talking as a Christian, as a child of God. What you are in God is so precious, so wonderful, so blessing. And when you treasure that and you remind yourself every morning that God is present with you, will help you to diminish, perhaps to reduce worry, and eventually to reach a place where you feel more comfortable, you feel that you have full confidence in God. Eric was asking me what I'm doing at the moment. I'm actually in business and I'm developing and still training after training and after training. And a slightly different approach. Sometimes they will take in this and they try to emphasize the idea of your abilities. So it is in Christian work, and the college will encourage the students to do that. Don't get me wrong. But when you look and you look what you have and what God has given you, it makes you feel that you are so precious, not for your own pride or anything like that, just to value what you have. God wants us to be people like that. God wants us to be people who are positive, who are excited, who are enjoying their life and rejoicing in all kinds of circumstances. It is a command. God, be rejoicing in the Lord always. We were reading this morning. Trust Him and He will be with you. Therefore, we are encouraged to look forward positively. God is in control. I was reading through my devotion the whole week, and it was interesting how God was building every step. I struggle myself with worries. Don't think that I'm not worried. Oh, tremendous. If I am to display my thoughts and my concerns, I'll be embarrassed. But every step God said to me, God, I'll be with you. I'll bless you. And different stories from the Bible were reminding me that God is present always with us. And for us, that's a tremendous comfort. When I came from Romania over 16 years ago, I made a promise to God and I stood before God and said, Lord, you've provided a blessing and you provided care. I came with £5 in my pocket. And I wasn't sure which way this would go, what God has and what He will open up. And I was anxious. And I had many times locked my room when I was in the Faith Mission Bible College training in Edinburgh, crying to God, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Came across to Northern Ireland, a very kind Irish Baptist college. They took me on board and put me through the college. And step by step, God has promised to be there, to be beside. And for each one of us, when we take those promises of God, I don't have plans to harm you, to destroy you, but to give you a hope and a future. It is a promise of God for you. You know what's interesting in that passage from Jeremiah, Lamentation? When he's speaking there about Jeremiah, plans for bless you, if you look in the context of those verses, I was very impressed to hear a sermon a few months ago about that. If you look at the situation of Israel there, they were in distress, they were in slavery, they were struggling. And it was quite difficult for them. But when God came and brought that word, it was a personal word for every individual Jew. And it is a personal word for every individual tonight. For I know the plans I have for you. When you take that verse, you realize that your future is blessed. No matter what circumstances will come around you, it's like the wonderful picture, if you read in the book of Revelation, Smyrna. This wonderful fragrance is effective when it's crushed. The most effective fragrance comes from that plant when it's crushed. The most efficient testimony comes into a Christian life when sometimes you feel crushed. Sometimes you feel you reach the end and there's no way out of that. Yet through that experience, you can highlight a wonderful quality. God in you. And do you know what you'll feel there? It's not me, Lord. It's you working in me. You'll feel so encouraged, basically, to say, Lord, you're doing a wonderful work, and I thank you for that. Let's look at the worry aspect. First of all, it is a word about the problems, a caution to observe. Nowhere does the Bible ever attempt to downplay the existence of problems. Sometimes, unfortunately, you'll have some churches today who will so-called prosperity, and nothing will go wrong with you once you become a Christian. And somehow make people feel, if they have an experience which is difficult in their lives, perhaps they will feel, well, there's something wrong with me, obviously, because if I should be a Christian, then nothing should go wrong with me. Wrong. Everywhere in Scripture is highlighted that our path will go sometimes to the valleys. I remember talking to a pastor last week, and we're talking and sharing together, and said to him, sometimes the valleys are getting wider and wider. You don't seem to reach the end. Yet God is present with you. And whenever that is fulfilled, God has his time. God has his time. When he feels that you have passed through enough to whatever purpose he has in your life, he will bring the mountain. He will bring you up. I love the song Amy Roberts will sing, the valley is so wide, I cannot go on my own. In moments like that, what thing we can do? Cling to God. Come to him. And if you feel discouraged, if you feel anxious, if you feel worried, say to me, Lord, I cannot go on my own. You know my weaknesses. We have a priest who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. He will not leave us alone. Trust in God. God is going to be with you. It's also a command to obey. My wife and I, we have four kids. And there are different aspects of life. And sometimes they come so anxious about something, or a friend fell off with a friend, or something went wrong and been anxious. And try to say, well, don't look at those circumstances. Perhaps certain issues came about. Don't worry about that. Look beyond that. You just be right yourself. A few weeks ago, my eldest son is very keen on cross country. But they're also organizing Oliver Twister play in school. So the morning when he was supposed to go cross country and was quite confident that he will get quite a good result out of that, the teacher came to him and said, Jonathan, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay for this practice. Now, he was very brave in school. And he said, okay. But he came home and he was mad. He was cross. And I called him in my study, we were talking together. I said, Jonathan, can I tell you something? I think you might be disappointed. I know that you had the full potential to earn that whatever cup or whatever it was, certificate, whatever it was there. But the fact that in school, when the teacher came and told you, okay, you've shown greater quality than earning that cup. To be content in difficult circumstances has a higher quality than to express a repulsive attitude. What a blessing. We can earn anything else, but to be content, Paul speaks about that, be content in all kinds of circumstances, provides for us a great return, a great testimony. So we are to obey. Be careful for nothing. Literally means do not worry about anything. As clear as I can say tonight, it is to remove the worry, to look at the situation, to perhaps get that glimpse. Ask God to speak to you. Lord, what's the purpose of this? What do you want me to learn from this? How can I move? And where can I move away from this? And sometimes it will be silence. You know, go back again and again and again. And it's again silence. But then God comes and tells us, I'll be with you. I mentioned to earlier on when I came to Britain, I said, Lord, I don't want everyday blessings like that to be always overwhelmed with great joys. But sometimes, just like that, like a ball bouncing, just give me the assurance that you are present with me. When God works in our lives to mature us, like Job said, though you slay me, I will follow. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to lay ourselves on the altar? Oh, Lord, whatever you want to cut off, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to work in my life, I'm prepared to sacrifice it all so that you will fulfill your work in my life. What is worry? The worry refers to a troubled state of mind resulting from concern about current or potential difficulties. It comes from the Old English word, which means to struggle. It was used to refer to the practice of wolves killing the sheep by beating them around the neck, thus strangling their prey to death. This is literally what worry is. It strangles our life. We feel like paralyzed. And sometimes if you allow this to build up so much in our lives, we feel we cannot go anywhere. We can get perhaps in a depression type of thing. And we feel there is no way out of it. Cling to God. Look to Him. He can help you through that. Look at good friends, people who can be there beside you to value your quality. Don't go to friends who will criticize you. They might not be friends. Go to people who are there beside you to appreciate you, to encourage you, and to take you further. Worry is the interest paid on trouble before it falls due. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. I remember when I was a child and we used to walk, we didn't have a car in Romania, we used to walk from church, and when it came to the winter nights, very dark and cold, walking home, sometimes when I was coming on the road and you have those light poles on the road and you come and you walk away and suddenly your shadow gets bigger and bigger. And when I was a child, I was used to be scared. Someone is coming behind me, seeing that happen. And you realize that the event, it was a shadow. Sometimes we are scared of shadows. And it's so important to realize that God is present with us. Don't allow the worries to be magnified and give you the scare experience. Now, worry, in so many ways, is defined in Scripture as actually a sin. It displays a lack of faith in the reality of God and His ability to meet your needs. This sounds probably so difficult and is not very compassionate in terms. But we have to be careful, because in worrying, we might express lack of faith. Lord, You have promised to be with me. Help us to cling to that promise, and help us to trust that You indeed will be with me. It's like throwing yourselves into the deep end. Would God be with you? Well, I'm talking in spiritual terms. God is promised to be, not to throw, you end up in a deep end, God is present with you. He will not leave you alone. There are experiences of life, situations like that, which will help us through to train ourselves in righteousness, to learn to be mature, to move forward with God, and to trust Him for everything. You recall the story in the Old Testament of Elijah. And there was no rain. And they were there and they were waiting for rain. They were praying about that, and everything was going terribly wrong. And one stage they were praying for that, and a little cloud came up there. And what a tremendous blessing that was. They sent him away. Rain is coming. When they are positive and know that God is in control, you look at more small signs and you see the hand of God in them. As Christians, we are encouraged not to worry. God knows what you face, and whatever kind of situation you are is not outside God's knowledge. He is in control and He has a purpose. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, and He knows you as an individual. You are so precious to Him, and He will not allow anything to go wrong. You remember the parallel which is made in the New Testament. You care for your child, and you not allow every effort you make is that nothing will go wrong for him. How much more your Father in heaven will do for you. Great comfort could come from that. God cares about what we face in life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Open it very simply before God. Lord, You know that I'm anxious about this. You know that this thought gives me a lot of bother and I cannot rest my mind with it. Help me see that beyond this, You are in control. And then God has promised to take care of you. Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How wonderful He works. cannot be described in words. Okay, we have to be on the ball, if they could say. God will bring opportunities around our path. We cannot lie back and say, well, Lord, I'm just waiting. Sometimes God will provide that just beside us. There is a little story, I'm sure it's known, about this person who was somehow in trouble. And he was lying in danger, and different rescue opportunities came towards him, and he refused them. He eventually collapsed and died, went before God and asked, well, Lord, why didn't you save me? Well, I sent you several of them around, you ignored them. God will provide circumstances and opportunities around us to move us forward. Similar to in a wave, I was doing a business course and I was talking, when you are on the top of the wave, let the wave move you forward. When you are with God, God will move you forward in His presence. He will provide the opportunities around you to bless you, to encourage you. Friends around you, an old people, a pastor in activity of the church, to encourage you to move forward with God. What a blessing that is for a Christian life. It's also important to reflect on what is come and to think of them in prayer. Verse 6, the act of prayer. Instead of worrying, the child of God is counseled to pray. When Paul talks about praying, he uses three words in this verse. He talks about prayer, supplication, and request. A time when you spend in the presence of God. An examination of each this will help make this instruction very clear. Prayer, this word is the general word for coming into the presence of the Lord. It carries the idea of our acknowledging of God and who He is. It speaks of adoration, worship, and devotion. Look, this morning, rejoice in the Lord, praise Him, adore Him. It's the picture of the weak child seeking the attention of a powerful parent. It is the picture of us seeing Him for who He really is. Prayer is the believers leaving the cares of the world behind to get lost into the presence of God. It's about our worship and adoration of God. When we get our eyes off of our troubles, we can focus them on the face of our Heavenly Father. Then, as He grows larger in our hearts, our problems grow smaller in our minds. When we allow Him to display Himself in His greatness, we realize that no circumstances of life will be as great as Him. All will become smaller and smaller and smaller. When trouble comes in your life and mine, one of the greatest sources of strength we possess in our ability to escape from the world is in Him, in prayer. We can literally step into a realm where troubles, sorrows, and worries cannot follow. God takes us a step farther with Him. Remember Job? I was reading about him last week and this, and what a promise and what a blessing God has been for him. It was quiet, it was silence. Some people came to him, is something wrong with your life? And he was accused and he was demolished morally and everything. He was down on the ground. He was praying to God there from the ground. He called upon God. There was silence. The moment came and God revealed Himself. And Job had to pray for his friends. God pruned him just. When God is present with us, He will do His part in a wonderful way. We don't understand it, but God is going to be with us. It's also the supplication aspect. This word refers to the earnest sharing of our burdens, needs, and problems. It speaks not of a flippant prayer, but the prayers that arise out of the heart. If you remember, Anna, Samuel's mom, went to pray in the temple. And was there and was praying for a son. The prophet came and spoke to her. She was just quietly expressing her bitterness, as her sorrow in her heart. God came and made a promise for her. God hears the quiet prayer. God hears your struggle. Perhaps sometimes you feel like this. I don't want to share this with anyone else. I just want alone to bring it before God. God will hear you. When you open your heart in His presence. Fervent prayer about needs that move the soul is in view here. God wants His children to pray, but He wants us to pray with a passion about the things that move our hearts. Don't be afraid to cry in your prayer. Don't be afraid to express your feelings. And if you are alone, make every effort to express that everything you feel in your heart. God is not judging you for that. God is gracious to you. The Bible tells us that Jesus sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. And he understands where we are. Let's express how we feel. Leave worries before God. Do not take them back, I put in here. Sometimes when we go in the presence of God, we express our prayer and we say, Lord, I just want to tell you what I feel and how I feel. But what happens? When we leave that place, we take them back with us. We start thinking again about them. That will not sort out the problem. Once you place them into his hands, leave them there. Father, I place into your hands. You know, when I sang that song first, when I did my first exams in the faith mission, the things I cannot do, I did them in the Baptist college as well. It was difficult. It was brain challenging. Jim asked me, do you want to do any further studies? And I said, it's enough brain torture. I don't want any more. Things and experiences of life, you find them impossible. Place them before the Father. He would either perhaps remove them from your life, or he will strengthen you and take you through. Paul has experienced moments when it was so difficult and he could not move any further. And he said, in my struggles, I know that God is present. I learned to be content and God is present with me. Trust God and he will help you through. Also request. The word refers to detailed prayer about specific issues. We need to learn to pray specifically and not in generalities. Many times we pray about an issue but never pray in a detailed, specific manner. We should never be afraid to approach God with the specific needs of life. He has promised to hear you and to answer you. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. I'll answer you in your time of need. I'll be near to you. It's also the atmosphere of prayer. And this is one of the things I've experienced personally. You come in moments like that, and God will allow moments like that. How do you feel in that moment? You feel that God surrounds you with his love. You are in full control. Well, God is in full control of your life. And suddenly, everything which seemed to be impossible for you is placed into the hands of someone who... There is no such a term, impossibility. He can do everything for you. What would you say to him? How do you stand before him? It gives you that harmonious atmosphere. I've experienced that in my life. And suddenly, perhaps you cannot sleep at night. Perhaps you have moments when things were so bad and gives you an unsettled situation. And suddenly, something comes to your mind and the next minute you find yourself asleep. God assures you through his Spirit that he's present with you. Big things and little things alike are to be the subjects of our prayer lives. Nothing is too big for God and nothing is too small for him either. We need to learn to pray about everything at all times. God wants us in his presence talking to him about every matter of life. Also the attitude of prayer. Notice that our praying is to be done in the attitude of thanksgiving. We cannot go to God in a rebellious attitude. Lord, what have you done to me? Why is this all here? What's going on? Lord, we come before you. We do not understand an inch of this. Or Lord, I come before you. I don't understand at all. Yet what I want to say to you, I trust you. I believe that you are present with me. I believe that you will take me through. As we approach God with the worries, fears, and burdens of life, we should do so with a thankful heart. Why? We have a God who cares about us. He cares about you. He hears us. He loves us. And who had promised to answer our prayers when we call upon him. Besides that, regardless of how difficult may be, sometimes God has directed our path to that point and is actively working out his will in us. Romans 8:28. We need to learn to be thankful people. It is a wonderful gift. After all he has done for us, the least we can do is to be thankful to him. If he never did another thing for me, I would have enough reason to praise him for all eternity. How precious are you in the sight of God? Think for a moment. He allowed his only son to come to the cross, to die in your place, to be forsaken by God, so that he will be with you. What greater price could be paid? How precious you are. That's the price God has paid for you. His own son dying in your place. Let's learn to be thankful in his presence. Read Psalm 100 and will provide an amazing amount of reasons to praise him. And also in verse 7, a word about promises. God wants us to know that there are some precious promises that can be ours. If he can come to the place where we refuse to allow worry to be our master, we learn to bring our needs to him. God promises us his peace. We are promised his peace. What is peace? The best definition I could think of, peace is tranquility of the soul. Tranquility of the soul. This kind of peace passes all understanding. Human terms cannot explain it. Whatever material things cannot provide it. It is peace, a divine peace within your heart. A mind-blowing experience. This is a state of being where you are calm in the heart of in the midst of trouble. In the storm, you are strong. God is with you. This is a calm in the heart that stands calm even though storm will still rages around us. It is a mysterious thing, but God's gift to everyone who trusts and follows him. There is a little statement in Romania. I try to translate it into English and I hope it will work well. On a black ant, as an insect, on a black rock, in a black night, God sees it. That's the extent of God's knowledge. How much more for you? You are more precious than any of the other part of creation. As created by God, as a human being, as a child of God, you are more precious than that. God sees you. You look at the universe and that whole majestic way of existence and everything which takes place in the universe. God has created everything like that, but you are more precious than that. What a value God puts in your life, it cannot be described. Why would not God care for you? God sees you. God has promised you peace. This is the kind of peace that Jesus promised to his disciples. It is a peace that is divine in origin. It is a peace that cannot be disrupted by the problems, disturbances, or difficulties of life. It is a peace that cannot waver, that cannot be shaken, and cannot be destroyed. Job had this kind of peace. Daniel had this kind of peace. The three Hebrews boys had this kind of peace. David had this kind of peace. And we are challenging ourselves to have that peace. Now, if you are to recall these examples, you will see that their circumstances were sometimes much, much extended than ours, much greater. The difficulties were far, far above ours. Yet they had peace, because God was with them. Cling to that promise in the middle of the storm, and God will give you peace. God promised us his preservation. We are told that God's peace will keep our hearts and minds. When Paul mentions the heart, he's referring to the seat of the emotions. You know, whenever war is like that, and I'm sure that you all experience that, well, I hope I'll not get sick with this, physically sick when we worry. And you worry about that and you're concerned, and that will add more worry to you, because not only that you are worried of the circumstances, then you are worried about your health. God wants us to have peace. Not to magnify the situation, but in the midst of it, to trust that God is going to preserve us. For I know the plans I have for you. I'm not intending to harm you. I'm intending to give you a hope and a future when you'll be a strong believer. People will look at you, and my authority will be expressed to you as a child of God. The heart is the place from which our feelings come. When Paul mentions the mind, he's referring to the place where our thinking comes. And what is worry? If it isn't wrong feeling, and wrong thinking in many occasions. When we see our burdens, our problems, and our fears through human eyes, we will always develop wrong feelings and wrong thoughts about the things we face in life. But if we go in that quiet room and put God's spectacles on, we realize that none of them are as great as God's providence in your life. He is sovereign. However, God's promise is that His peace will keep our hearts and minds in peace. The word keep means to stand guard over. This morning we're looking how we can build those walls of protection. Here we have the promise that God will guard you, will be around you. When Paul wrote these very words, he had a Roman guard and a wither on either side of him. And was standing guard over the man of God, Paul says that God's peace is like a guard that protects the heart from wrong feelings and the mind from wrong thoughts. I don't know about you, but I feel so tremendously challenged thinking that God is present in those kind of circumstances. And the protection you get is greater than what the world will throw at you. God is present with you. I remember in Romania again coming to a time of persecution. And there were many struggles. And the pastors, many times, I was a child at that stage. They were living in the same area where with my parents. And we used to go home and protect them, go around, because the security police will come and follow them. So we went close to them, many people going around them. So they'll not be intimidated in any way. They will not come if there's a crowd of people going with them. But he used to say sometimes, the pastor, like this: sometimes we fear of the devil like a lion. But it's just a little kitten which is chained. It will not reach you. It will bark at you. It will annoy you. But it has a limit. When I learned that about the very terrible dogs we used to have, well, not some neighbors in Romania, initially I was scared. But sometimes I was a bit naughty. I used to go the distance where I knew I was safe, and I was annoying them because I knew that they're not going to reach me. Make sure that the chain is well in place. So it is with the devil. Don't challenge the devil. Well, what God says to us, fight whatever God is asking you to do. Defend yourself. But be aware, he cannot reach you. When you are a child of God, he is chained. And there is no way of reaching you. No matter what barks will come, no matter what circumstances will bring across you, trust God, he will not reach you. You are safe. Years ago, I heard a story, and with this one I would like to close, about a pilot. And this pilot was in training. He had a bit of experience of flying. He took off, and he was flying that in the sky. It was about 4 hours distance. 2 hours through the flight, he heard a noise in the cabin before he realized there was a rat managed to get into the plane. And the plane was flying. He thought for a moment, I fly this plane, the rat will chew the cables and will be no hope for me. He thought for a moment, he realized that the rodent does not survive on the heights. So he flew as high as he could and the rat died. Can I bring an illustration from there? When you face difficulties like that, all the temptations of the devil, like little rats, will bite at you. Go high into the presence of God. None of them will survive. When you trust God and you know that He is present with you, don't allow any circumstances of this world. Just go into His presence. In the presence of God, there is beauty, there is blessing. Any kind of gnashing and biting temptations will be destroyed when you are close to God. Don't allow those things. Just think for a moment. It goes so hard for you. Go as close as you can to God. You are high spiritually, and all of them will die away. May the Lord bless us. As I mentioned, I felt personally, and it's a heart message I personally apply to my life, first of all. And I pray that God will encourage each one of us tonight. May the Lord bless you. Amen.